If I gaze upon the desert, I behold you in the desert. If I gaze upon the ocean, I behold you in the ocean. Wherever I cast my eyes, mountain, valley, or plain, I see a sign of your captivating stature. One person favors the pain, another the remedy. One person favors union, another separation. As for me, from remedy, pain, union, and separation, I favor whatever the beloved favors. Welcome to the 80th episode of Restart, a scientific program that even the scientists of 500 years from now won't grasp, and the politicians of 500 years from now won't understand. The reason is that I am not its author. Its authors are the mystics and the people of Sufism, who are great masters, and philosophers and professors are contained within these masters. Welcome to the empire of Sufism. Welcome to Restart. Yes, a great welcome to you. Unfortunately, if you think I am the author and director of this program, you're high. I've explained the reason before. All knowledge that exists in the universe has been bestowed by the mystics and the people of Sufism. That is, scientists came who were sub-branches of these people. However, some words and writings from these great masters have also been released, which governments and religions have censored, burned, or simply lost the books of these masters. It really doesn't matter. Right now, the prophecies of Shah Nematollah Wali keep getting lost and then found again after some time, then lost and then found, for instance. The tombs of Hafez and Saadi have been on the verge of destruction 20 times since they were built. Their books are censored. Rumi's books are all censored. Saadi's book is censored. And it's interesting that 500 years after Azizuddin Asafi proposes the theory of evolution, Darwin's theory as you call it, Darwin comes and speaks the words of Azizuddin Asafi. Why? Because the books are in the hands of the government. I mean, imagine Restart is broadcast, and I talk about scientific concepts in it, and after a while it gets lost, and the people of Iran no longer have Restart. Then, for example, Ethiopia finds Restart, and their scientist listens to Restart, copies the material from me, presents it, and then it is credited to them. It becomes Darwin's theory. Now consider that the theory of Darwin came out 200 years ago and humanity still has a problem with it. Just imagine this theory came out 500 years before Darwin. If the people of that time had understood the Darwinian theory that Azizuddin Asafi released, all of you would have a house on Mars, my darling, a beautiful one. Their books exist, and then we ask, why don't they talk about it? Well, not all mystics and people of Sufism spoke in code. Many spoke clearly. Azizuddin Asafi's embryology was the science of 45 years ago. That is, 45 years ago, they understood how the embryo divides into several parts, what each part does, and which part of the human body each part forms and creates. He released his embryology 500 years before Darwin. We have as many figures like Azizuddin Asafi as you could want. In Sufism and mysticism, do you want to go further back? If the word of Aristotle had not been heard, and the words of Socrates and Plato had prevailed, and if the people of that time had understood what the great mystics and great Sufis of that history said, that the earth revolves around the sun, where would we be now? And the situation is the same now. Even now, the people of Sufism and mystics are being killed worldwide. Their books are being censored. Their programs are not broadcast. And 500 years from now, people will understand that 500 years ago, something was said that they should have understood 1,000 years later. It's that simple. And don't you think they didn't release books, or for example, that they had complexes, or that they wrote in code, or in secrets? Not all of them were like this. A person like Hafez was a mystic. Or for example, Baba Tahir, he didn't release any book, yet he knew everything. Everything a scientist knew in that era, multiplied that by several thousand, and Mr. Baba Tahir knew it. Now, he wasn't after releasing a scientific book, but Aziz Nasafi wanted to Kajih Nasir Adin Tusi wanted to, Abu Rayhan Biruni wanted to. Well, you've only recently recognized some of them. That is, Kajih Nasir Adin Tusi is a Sufi, and you've just found out a great mystic named Kajih Nasir al-Din Tusi is a Sufi. What is Kajih Nasir al-Din's religion? Islam, number, Sunni, number, Shia, number. They should write Sufi mystic on Wikipedia. They just released something and it has nothing to do with Iran. They released Goethe and no one understood. They also released Nietzsche. They changed his name and said he understood in this matter that God does not exist. Some saw they couldn't do anything, so they said toward the end of his life, while he was lying in his room, Mr. So-and-so came into the room, Nietzsche. He said, "What did you understand?" He said, "I understood that there is no God, and Nietzsche died, and we have no document to prove it." He repented at the end of his life, in the last moments of his death. What a farce. He released 500 books, and the world's consciousness hasn't even reached Nietzsche. Has it reached Victor Hugo? Has it reached William Shakespeare? Has it reached Anton Chekhov? Don't think they are only Iranians. Wherever the complete human existed, the educated people and great masters of that history worked as sub-branches of the complete human. So books have been released, words have been spoken. I want to read two couplets from Baba Taher because I want to enter the valley of the material world. What does the valley of the material world mean? How is it that we have a valley called the material world? It's not a valley, it's a world. And what is the shape of the universe? What was there before the Big Bang? Why don't we know anything? Why don't we know something that was known 7,000 years ago? How must it take 7,000 years to understand it with beatings and abuse? Why should we flog Mr. Mendel, one of those great mystics, and put him in prison as an adulterer just because he grafted a pear onto an apple? Why should we fail to understand Mendeleev, the greatest prophet in the world, who was neither Christian nor Jewish nor Muslim, but one of the people of Sufism? Why shouldn't we understand? Should we understand or not? These are all our problems, yours and mine. Why? Because we know nothing about the world. Those who have gone, who have seen, know the zenith of the universe. Yes, anyone who dies, the people of the world can't connect with them. They can, but we can't. Why can't we? Because we lack the character. We don't have the understanding of this movement. Who knows where the dead are now? The people of Sufism and the mystics, they know, they hold meetings with them, they joke with each other, they put candy in each other's mouths. Are you kidding? What is our problem, yours and mine? Our problem is that at that time, 700, 800 years ago, these people of Sufism came, or Azizuddin Nasafi released a book, and then the atheists, they existed back then, these same godless or non-believers, it makes no difference. The scientists, these Hawkings, said, "Don't joke, man." "What do you mean? What are these Sufis, these mystics saying?" "I sit here and hear the voice of so-and-so in Italy." "Ha ha. Man, come into science. Man, forget God. Science is this." Then they would say, "Sir, I really hear the voice of so-and-so in Italy. I hear it. I have something called Skype now. I can see it." Now they say, "We know every time someone dies, the dead person doesn't go anywhere without our permission. We know." People must suffer for 7,000 years riding donkeys. Imagine Avicenna rode a donkey. And the person who worked in the bathhouse also rode a donkey. Both traveled by donkey. So what the hell was knowledge doing at that time? Nothing. The godless were cursing the mystics and the people of Sufism from one side, and the government, to prevent people from understanding, was burning their books, setting them on fire, hiding them, and killing them from the other. The religious people's shops were closing. They had a business open. Such a good business. Everyone would just come and pay money. They would also disappear. So four or five groups joined hands to destroy their own country. The world is the same now. Even now, 700 years ago, Rumi said, "Man, the Big Bang is from a bubble. The Big Bang is not just one." Azizuddin Nasafi explained more than this. He explained the entire universe up to the point where a human reaches a station where he sees nothing but God. He explained it up to that point. That is, Azizuddin Nasafi completely explained cosmology. Let me read two couplets from Baba Taher. Baba Taher was one of the mystics, a Sufi and a mystic who lived and survived for 85 years, a very amusing old man whom everyone who saw him would beat, a blunt person who was clearly very understanding, and no one recognized him until he was gone. Now, in Hamedan, in Khorramabad, they say there is a tomb, but it's not his. His tomb was quickly built during Reza Shah's time because his outlook was moving towards Sufism. The same thing the empire of Sufism will do in the future. Great people should be revered, and their tombs should be ready for people to go and see. Just look at the excitement and passion that's happening among people this year compared to previous years for visiting Saadi, Hafez, and Sheikh Karaghan, and others. This is the effect of restart. Now, soon, people will go to the Hajj less and will visit these places here more. They'll understand what the Hajj is. They'll understand. It will be understood in restart. Baba Taher says, I am that Rind whose name is without Kalandar. I have no blood, no home, no anchor. When day arrives, I wander around the universe. When night turns, upon a brick I lay my head. He says, during the day, I go and see the whole universe. When day arrives, I wander around the universe. I go and see exactly what's going on Mars. What is Aramata? What is the world of the material realm? What is the world of the spiritual realm? I wonder. When night turns, upon a brick, I lay my head down. If this person is a liar, you should kill him. Why do you build so many tombs? Why do you cry so much? Why do you beat yourselves up with Khayyam's poems? If he is a liar, then nothing. He says, during the day, I go and wander in the universe. I am here, but I am not. The world of the material realm and the world of the spiritual realm are similar. You just have to think about it. In the world of the material realm, for example, do you see the magnetic field on Earth right now? No, sir. Do you hear it? No, sir. Do you smell it? No, sir. Do you touch it? No, sir. How did you understand that a magnetic field exists? How do you understand what orbits the structure of the universe? What is the intermolecular force? This is a sign that they call this the angel. That is, they call them angels. So the angel is this magnetic field, which you cannot solve with the senses of your ear, eye, nose, and mouth. You can't understand the magnetic field. It can't be touched at all. Prove the magnetic field, Mr. Hosseini. We pick up the pendulum and swing it. The pendulum goes left, goes right, goes left, and stops somewhere. From there, we understand 9.8 gravity. What is the intermolecular force? Show me where the intermolecular force is. They call this the spiritual realm. Of course, this is just an angel in the world of the material realm. So the world of the material realm has different states. So let's go back and see what we said about the world of the material realm. The world of the material realm is the world of length, width, height, and time. And scientists say it has 12 dimensions, and mystics say its dimensions are more than 12. Up to 12 dimensions is logical, understanding 12 dimensions. It's not very difficult. Mystics say that scientists can know the 12 dimensions, just as scientists know what the Aramadas are, but they can't sleep in them. Their intellect doesn't reach an understanding of it because the intellect of scientists only reaches when they go and see, get on the shuttle, go and see. Mystics say that by the grace of God, by killing us, scientists will understand where Andromeda is in 5 million years. What's going on? They know, but they don't understand. The world of the material realm is divided into several parts. Number one, the world of my heaven. What does that mean? It means everything that a human who is currently living on Earth sees in their sky. That is, from the Big Bang until now, is the world of my heaven. From the Big Bang until now, it is like a soap bubble. An explosion occurred from somewhere. It expanded, and everything separated from each other. This is the world of the material realm. That is, length, width, height, and time, and these 12 dimensions exist in it in a certain state. Now, I'll give an example of the 12 dimensions to draw a conclusion. The moment you open the head of this Big Bang bubble, that is, you go behind the Big Bang, you realize that this is a bubble. In this ocean, it is a bubble whose foam is on the ocean. you see an ocean, and then you see billions upon billions of other Big Bang bubbles on it. This is still the world of the material realm. Really? Yes, the world of the material realm is a nested world. The baby in the mother's womb is on an earth that has such a big sky. I explained it once. So the baby sky in the mother's womb is the world of the material realm. When the baby is born, it sees all this sky. It is again the world of the material realm. So the baby in the mother's womb becomes part of the earth. The world of the material realm, our world, is the same. It's a leaky bubble, like a mother's womb, where the entire tiny embryo simultaneously divides into four parts and copies and pastes itself. One cell produces itself. The interesting thing is that it produces itself in a way that is not like the one next to it. And the interesting thing is that each group that produces itself, each one of these groups makes something. That is, there are 16 types of hair on your body. Hair of I don't know where, hair of that place, hair of here, each with its own characteristics. Small, large, larger, to come out sooner, to come out later, to come out less. It places the amount of time in it. That is, it says this hair must grow this much. Scientists ask, why? Well, they don't think about it. If arm hair was like head hair, we'd constantly have to go to the barber. Are we gorillas? That is, one cell becomes two cells, and the two cells are different. The mother and father are all the same, but the ancestors are totally different. One takes you to Evan prison and slaps you, and another doesn't. He sits and broadcasts, restart. They are different, with different fingerprints, all in one space. This is the very essence of hair. Now come and see what a ridiculously small embryo turns into millions of veins and tissues. What is this world? What world is it that comes into existence? That same world is the one that comes into existence after death, and right now it is also that same world that is coming into existence. So this is the world of the material realm. See how many states it has. The world of the material realm is behind your father. The world of the material realm is behind your mother. The world of the material realm is behind the plant your father ate. They are all different from each other. All of them came. We are from above and we go above. They come up to see what happens next. It's true that one of the plants was also eaten by a jackal, but there was also a basil plant that Dad ate. Dad ate and Mom ate and I came out. This body of mine, cell by cell, belongs to these beings. These are the different worlds of the material realm inside my body and existence. So what is the world after death? It's in the fourth, fifth, and sixth dimensions, that's right. Length, width, and height are digested in a way. Their shape changes. But the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensions manifest in the next world in a different state. That is, you are still in the material realm. I want to explain this. That is, even when you die, you are still in the material realm. You have not yet entered the world of the spiritual realm. The universe, when you exit the Big Bang, you see billions of bubbles, and you see all these bubbles in an ocean. And this ocean, this immense sea, has a sky. It has something called air that created this bubble. That is, here in our ocean, air enters between the waves to create bubbles. There, time enters between the waves. That is, the ocean where time strikes under the wave, lifts the wave, and a bubble is produced. So the fourth dimension, where you and I are sitting now, is a dimension that in the second sky, meaning when you exit the Big Bang, you see that time is producing it there. So there is an ocean, it has a shore, that's why mystics say the shore of the ocean is an ocean. So the world after the Big Bang, where time is produced. See, this is a very important point. That is, waves are produced in it, which are of the ocean's essence. The ocean's essence enters into time, which is called the Big Bang, and the creation of billions upon billions of worlds with one Big Bang.
Approximately 15% of all the things I'm saying have been proven. Einstein's relativity is scientific, and 85% of it, I'm saying, comes from the people of Sufism and the mystics. Maybe it will be proven 500 years from now, but even now, the people of Sufism know this. This world is the world of the material realm. What is that world? All of that is still the world of the material realm. That's why I said that ocean, that air, and that time are the producers of an entity in the world of the material realm. So the ocean contains the complete human. That is, you are the complete human in that ocean. This very complete human who exists now, the waves produced in the complete human after it moves. An entity called time enters it and creates this ocean. Where in the complete human is this? Now, why should we be so surprised by this matter? Why should we think that the issue is, for example, very big? Let me read a couplet from Baba Tahir for you. He says, I am that ocean that has come into the vessel. Baba Tahir is not the complete human, dear listener. He is a Sufi, a mystic. He says, I am that ocean. This ocean he's talking about is the very ocean we are talking about now. Now I want to read Rumi's poem. Slowly, slowly, we will understand. Because Rumi beautifully explains what happens in the world. He explains the world of the material realm, goes into the world of the spiritual realm and explains it, and goes into the world of divine power and explains it. If there's an opportunity, I will also read from Azizuddin Nasafi so we can know. Mr. Hosseini, he says. I say, yes, my dear. He says, Mr. Baba Tahir says that ocean you are explaining to people. I say, yes. He says, for God's sake, don't belittle the complete human. I am that ocean. Let me read the next line. And all those fanatical Muslims and others who still know nothing, who think a pigeon flies from above, a girl flies down, will understand more. Why? Because they also think, for example, they say that such and such an imam of ours said, I am the dot under the ba of Bismillah. Listen, good boy, listen. Baba Tahir says this, and he's not even a complete human. Listen, Baba Tahir. I am that ocean that has come into the vessel. As a dot upon the letter, I have appeared in every alif. An upright alif emerges. I am that ancient alif that has come into the alif. He says, that ocean you see, he saw it there. He says, I am that ocean that has come into a vessel, into this body that they now called Baba Tahir. He says, that ocean that has bubbles where the Big Bang happens, I am that. I am that ocean that has come into the vessel. I have been contained in this vessel, in my body. As a dot upon the letter, I have appeared. He says, I am that dot under the ba of Bismillah. Baba Tahir says, I am the dot under Bismillah. He goes further than this in his speech. Look now, you have two options. Either you go and kill Sa'di, Rumi, Hafez, William Shakespeare, Victor Hugo, Anton Chekhov, and Goethe, Nietzsche, kill them. I have no problem. They were all liars, or they are all liars, so we kill them. Then why do we plead so much? Why does everyone want to claim Rumi as their own? If these people are great, a great person cannot lie. Their words are either lies, nonsensical, empty words, in which case they are nothing, or they are speaking the truth. We must figure out what we should say to them, how we should approach them, and sit respectfully on our knees. Now, if you didn't understand Baba Tahir, where should we go and sit with the present-day Sufi and say, Sir, please tell us, what should we do before the Big Bang? What should we do about such and such cancer? What should we do about such and such a thought? What is going on in the world? These are all examples. It says, eat goat hair with cheese and bread with lead bullets. I'm just giving an example. He goes further than this. He says, I am that ocean. The dot that these religions keep talking about. The religions say Jesus is the dot of so-and-so, Moses. I am that. I am that ocean that has come into the vessel. As a dot upon the letter, I have appeared. In every alif, an upright alif emerges. In every alif, meaning every thousand years, and you should know that 1,000 years here does not mean global time. That is, it's not the time you see where you're in the Big Bang. It's Sufi time. He says, in every alif, all complete humans are alif. This was so great in mysticism and Sufism that Baba Taher becomes in every alif, every thousand years, an upright alif emerges from among the Sufis, from among the mystics, not from among the complete humans. I am that ancient alif that has come into the alif. I am that. Then you think that, for example, just 200 years ago, if Baba Taher said, man, my mother called and said, I have to go there, they would mock him. They would ask, how do you hear her voice? Do you know how he hears? Why did they have Skype before? Because if one day we had listened to their words, we would have had Skype back then. Pay attention. Let me explain something so we know. In every alif means every thousand years. An upright alif emerges, meaning an upright alif emerges, and a Sufi who reaches this status is of great magnitude. All complete humans are all upright alif, and they are even greater than these words. An upright alif emerged that has come into the letter. This is a very interesting point for you to know. Look now, you go to a professor and say, Mr. Professor. He says, yes. You say, have you heard of the Restart program? He says, no. You say, in Restart, Hosseini said that the wiring of electricity, the cables, these are an insult to the universe. The reason we wire electricity, consume electricity by forcefully damming rivers, beautiful entities called water, we destroy them to get electricity. This work is ignorant. This work of all those who dig the earth and run wires through it is ignorance. The scientist will ask you, well, please tell Mr. Hosseini, do you have a solution? If we cut off the electricity now, do you mean to say that digging the ground is bad? Cutting down trees is bad? Is the wiring bad? Is the wiring bad? Installing meters is bad? Mr. Hosseini, do you have a solution? And then Hosseini says, yes. Tell them, sir, you just need to create a black hole the size of a lentil, the size of a fist on earth. That is, the empire of Sufism gives $150 million to NASA, gives it to scientists, and says, sir, sit down and create a black hole the size of a soccer ball and send it into orbit with a shuttle and let it orbit the earth just like the moon orbits. From this black hole, the electricity of the whole universe and the energy of the whole universe can be supplied. Then the scientist tells you, Hosseini is exactly right. Bravo, a solution. Then he asks, where is his program broadcast? He takes it from you and listens. The reason your television was connected with a wire and you watched it was because of your and my stupidity, not because of the scientist. It's because this television should have been invented 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. And why don't you pull a wire when you want to change the TV channel? You say, Hosseini, the remote control has arrived. Even better, now the smart TV has arrived. You say, smart TV, power on, and it turns on. Smart TV, go to Google. It goes to Google. Smart TV, bring up my film, and it brings up the film. See how much it has progressed. It's wireless. The worst thing is that we drive our cars on Earth, either electric or gasoline-powered. The best thing is to produce a black hole, put it in the Earth's orbit, and give energy to these cars wirelessly from the energy of that black hole, without them needing a gas tank or gasoline. The cars run. That is, they are connected wirelessly, just as now. That is, they have put something in the satellite, and you are seeing my image in your house. Anyone who connects to the internet sees everything and sees the world. The production of this black hole is also very simple.
Well, in whose hands is this knowledge? It's in the hands of Rumi, in the hands of Saadi, in the hands of the people of Sufism. So why do we wire? Because of our lack of knowledge. Why did we have to go and turn the TV on from the front? You would walk that distance. As a child, I used to tell my father, should I go all the way over there to turn it on? It's better if it just turns on by itself. He said, lazy people generally give good ideas. Then it became controlled, and then it became remote. Now it turns on with words. The same thing should happen in the world. That is, our science will advance when we can do the energy of the universe without wiring. All the houses will be connected. You connect a rod up there and connect to the global black hole satellite. From there, you also watch movies. You also see your energy, and the cars also run. Everything runs. What is the requirement for these? I call this the spiritual realm. This is a world that is giving signs in the material realm of what the spiritual realm looks like and many other things that exist in the world. We are very far behind the Sufi and the mystic in terms of literacy and knowledge. That is, the things I'm saying they really knew about 4,000 years ago, everyone knew. As far as I know, have read and have looked, they all knew this matter. In politics, it's the same. For example, regarding the secularism you're explaining, ask them, what does secularism mean? They explain it as political literacy, and that has generally always been less than the scientists, and generally the most illiterate have been here. 99% were like this. If you ask a politician what secular means, he says the separation of the institution of religion from the institution of politics. We say, well, when you separate this, you are just erasing the original problem. That is, you are dividing it into two parts, so your secularism itself is negating secularism. What does secularism mean? It means everyone should be able to do whatever they want. When you say the separation of the institution of religion from the institution of politics, what are you saying? You're saying, are you again interfering in my mind to know whether my institution of religion is separate from my politics or not? Must I separate it? So it becomes two things again. So it cannot be secular. It is questioning secularism. Sufism does not say this. It says everyone should speak. Anthrop is the most beautiful global movement. So Anthrop must be produced. That is, Moses advertises his religion. Jesus advertises. Islam advertises. Zoroaster advertises. Buddha advertises. The non-religious advertise, the Satan worshippers advertise, everything must advertise. A child does nothing until puberty and then chooses after puberty. Anthrop causes you to have basil, chives, greens, rice, yogurt, and meat all on your table. This becomes Anthrop. Now suppose I am secular, the separation of meat from greens. Well, you can't eat the foods anymore. What kind of secularism is this that tells me what to eat? It tells me, if you want to become president, you must be secular. Why? Because they didn't understand Plato, the great Sufi. We understand nothing of Plato. The best thing is to sit on our knees right now, be silent so the soul may speak for you, so that you understand the matter. Otherwise, we won't progress. Why shouldn't we have been first in the world in embryology 750 years ago, so that now we realize Azizuddin Nasafi said the government tore it up, and many other things? Let's move on to Rumi's poem. So the world of the material realm is within the world of the spiritual realm, and both are the products of the world of divine power. The world of divine power is a world whose thought is called the complete human. That is, the world of divine power is the originator, the producer of all forces, powers, the world of the spiritual realm, and the world of the material realm of the universe. That is, beyond this, we will now slowly go into episode 100 onwards to see why this is scientifically correct. This is very interesting. When you can't prove something scientifically, it becomes very problematic. Why is it scientifically correct? Why is the complete human scientific? That is, if you are literate, you cannot eliminate the complete human. Why? Because you say Muhammad and a book. Then we say, well, Moses is the same. He says Moses and a book. Jesus, he says Jesus and a book. Now, what do you say? He says, no, it's cut off now. God is either asleep or didn't have time. The relationship with humanity is completely cut off and no one else can help. I say, well, I can't find him, I don't see him. He says, no, sir. Rumi's poem, so in every era, speaks scientifically, so in every era there is a Mahdi, so in every era a vicegerent is established. Don't say this. Well, Rumi comes to explain how the world was created from the perspective of the Valley of Love. He says, Rumi, if the soul of the lover breathes fire upon this world it casts, and this foundationless world, like scattered atoms, it casts apart. So he considers the world to be foundationless. Every word, every letter of Rumi is important. That's why if you change one word, you won't understand one letter of it. If the soul of the lover breathes, he says, if that beauty, the complete human, breathes. The lover means that beauty. There is no God but Allah. There is no God but He, and there is no God but Allah. When there is two Hu and Allah, it means there are two. It's that simple. He says, if that beauty just stands up from his place, please just stand up, breathe a breath, scream a scream, roar a roar. When I scream now, it's not just my vocal cords that move. Everything from my kidney to everything moves. I get a toothache, but it's not just my tooth that hurts. Your whole body hurts, and your nerves are also frayed. I tell the dentist, this pain hits the main nerve opening. It gives the command. Do you know Sadi? He answers, no. The children of Adam are limbs of one body, for in creation they are of one essence. When fortune afflicts one limb with pain, the other limbs are left with no repose. You who are indifferent to the suffering of others, it is not fit for your name to be called human. Understand, do you know Sadi? No. The children of Adam are limbs of one body, for in creation they are of one essence. Then you, the illiterate, say, oh, doctor, you're making a fool of yourself. My back hurts. You say, the pain is because of this? The doctor says, yes, my job is pain recognition. One person favors the pain, another the remedy. There are many remedies, and there is much pain. We have 20 billion, billion, billion pains and 20 billion, billion, billion remedies. That is, you turn on the computer and it's connected. So, the higher our understanding goes, the more wireless connections there are, the more understanding and knowledge there are. If the soul of the lover breathes, if the complete human breathes, fire upon this world it casts. It casts fire into this world, and this foundationless world, like scattered atoms, it casts apart. So, look, he is talking about the world of divine power now. The first couplet is about the world of divine power. Pay attention. He says the complete human is in the world of divine power. It's enough for him to just breathe, to do something. Be silent so the soul may speak for you. All of these are related. He says, if the soul of the lover breathes, fire upon this world it casts, and this foundationless world, like scattered atoms, it casts apart. Now, then what happens? Mr. Rumi, if he stands up from his place, if he screams, what happens? Then he explains the universe. Rumi, the world will all become a sea. The sea will become a no from awe. No Adam will remain, nor humanity, if he strikes himself against Adam. He says the final event is that the world, its big bang, returns. The bubbles burst. So when does the world end? When the big bubble gets big, it bursts. When it bursts, where does it return? Its time goes back to its place. Its air goes back to its place. Its water goes back into the sea. He says the world will all become a sea. So, it shows that the whole world is a sea, an ocean exists. That is, it's similar. Don't think you can swim in the middle of it. You can't swim there with this body. He says if that beauty shouts, the world will all become a sea, the sea will become a no, that is, it will deny God. We didn't understand the couplet at all. He says if he shouts, the whole world becomes infidel. Everyone is destined for hell. This isn't even about you and me, man. You and I are just a speck in a bubble, totally lost in the universe. Nietzsche said, God is dead. What an important sentence. He said it very mystically. By God, God did not find us. He lost us several times. He didn't know where in the world we were. He made it so big. That's a very beautiful thing I said back then. If he turns his face the other way, by God, we're lost, we are lost. Now, the world will all become a sea, the sea will become a no from awe. He says, everything in the world becomes infidel. No Adam will remain, nor humanity, if he strikes himself against Adam. He says the moment that Hu was striking himself against Adam, neither Adam nor humanity remained. That is, he breathed into the human. Neither Adam nor humanity remained. He is explaining this. Rumi, a smoke will rise from the heavens. Neither creation nor Malak will remain. Suddenly from that smoke a fire upon the great dome it will cast. The great dome means the sky of that ocean, which we will later go into the next world and see where the levels reach. Rumi, at that breath the sky will split, neither existence nor space will remain. So as we approach the world of divine power to know, in this line he is saying that until that moment it is the world of the material realm. That is, length, width, and height are in different forms, with different states and different dimensions. I don't know. I entrust you to the hypothalamic brain of the Sufi and the mystic. By God, if I entrust you to anyone else, they will steal you, crush you, take you somewhere and become your leader. You won't understand anything. Neither will he understand, nor will you understand. I don't know who to entrust you to, but I entrust you to the hypothalamic brain of Baba Taher. I leave you within the neurons of Hafez. I release you into the clear teardrop of Sa'di. At the moment he understood and the world did not. Perhaps you will understand the meaning of the bubble. Farewell.